In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation, and as always, it's great to be with you. We always like to start our conversation by inviting Mary to be with us. Mary has many titles. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us. Also, we invoke Mary in the beautiful prayer, the Hail Holy Queen. Mary is our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let's turn to Mary and say the prayer that she loves most, begging Mary to give us a lot of light, a lot of peace, a lot of joy today, and that she'll bring us closer to Christ. As we say, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now let's turn to our spiritual guide, our spiritual director. Our spiritual guide, our spiritual director is the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit. So, the Holy Spirit has many beautiful titles, among which would be the Holy Spirit is the Paraclete. The Holy Spirit is also known as the Gift of Gifts. Holy Spirit is also known as the Sweet Guest of the Soul. Holy Spirit is also known as the Interior Master. St. Paul says that we really don't know how to pray as we ought. We really don't know how to pray as we ought. So, the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba. Abba, which means daddy or father. Abba, which means daddy or father. So let's beg the Holy Spirit to give us a lot of light, a lot of peace, a lot of joy, a lot of insight so that we would always do God's will. As we say the prayer that we all know, the classical prayer of the Holy Spirit, that is, Come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lady Guadalupe, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. Saint Jane Frances de Chantal, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Once again, it's good to be with all of you on this Friday in which we honor our Lord's passion and death, as always on Fridays. And as always, we are a family, the Perseverance family. I try to give you the best I can give, and that would be prayer. But especially the holy sacrifice of the Mass. There is no greater prayer in the world than the holy sacrifice of the Mass. So I'd like to place all of you on the altar in the Mass that I'll celebrate today. Now I'd like to offer three specific intentions. First, and of great importance, is that all of us would try to be open to the workings of the Holy Spirit. Open to the workings of the Holy Spirit. Being aware of the fact that our sanctification, our growth in holiness depends primarily upon the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. One of the titles for the Holy Spirit is actually the Sanctifier. Pope St. John the 23rd said that he says that the saints are the spiritual masterpieces of the Holy Spirit. That's right, the saints are the spiritual masterpieces of the Holy Spirit. So we're called to be a spiritual masterpiece of the Holy Spirit. Let it allow ourselves to be the clay in the hands of the potter, the image given by Jeremiah. The second intention would be, I'd like to pray for your children. In a world in which there's so much confusion, especially over one's personal identity, who we are as a human person, your children can easily be confused by the mass media, by the modern school system, by friends that are really not friends at all. And never forget, and never fail to reiterate this fundamental truth that all of you, moms and dads, grandparents also, but especially moms and dads, you are the primary educators of your children. That's right. You are the primary educators of your children. Not the state, nor politics, nor even the school. You, as mom and dad, you are the primary educators of your children. And hopefully you'll take that serious, recognizing that you're the primary bridges by which your children can go from earth to heaven. And my last intention will be that all of us will strive to be open today to the Word of God that God is going to be communicating to you through your humble servant, that we would be able to say with the prophet Samuel in the temple, who heard God speaking to him but did not know where it was coming from. Samuel said, "Speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening." May that be our antiphon today. Speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening. So, my friends, before entering into the gospel for today, I'd like to go into the gospel today, which is very rich and speaks about marriage. I'd like to first make an invitation. Many of you know that about a month ago, I gave a three-week retreat, marriage retreat, in Spanish. And it turned out to be a huge success. How many married couples can say that they've got everything in perfect order? None of us. We're all struggling to overcome our own sinful tendencies, to fight against the devil that always tries to divide, to overcome our own concupiscence, our disordered desires. We're all struggling with that on a daily basis. This easily can be applied to the marriage state. So, we had a three-week retreat in Spanish, and it turned out to be a huge success. So I'm going to do the same thing in English, but instead of 3 weeks, we'll have 2 weeks. And we'll be doing that, not this Sunday, but the following Sunday and the Sunday that follows that Sunday, which would be August 21st as well as August 28th, those two Sundays. So I'm already making the invitation. You probably all, if you follow our website and Facebook, you probably already have seen the invitation. I even gave a little vocal pitch inviting you to come. This can be also couples that are preparing to get married. This can be for couples that are not married yet. It's for basically all couples. So I'd like to explain what is the dynamic of this, and the gospel today is perfect. The gospel today is perfect. It's a perfect sequel to our invitation to the marriage retreat. So, not this Sunday, the following Sunday, 21st, we'll start off at 12 noon. Easy to remember. We'll start off at 12 noon. And we'll start off in which I will give a conference on marriage and the family. I'll give a conference on marriage and the family. That's right. Conference on marriage and the family. Invite all of you to come because we have to constantly go into what's called ongoing formation. Ongoing formation, that's right. Ongoing formation. So, after I give the talk, and we'll give you a binder so that you'll be able to take this home and refer to it in later times, then after that we'll divide into groups such that you'll be able to talk about the topic of marriage and family you'll be guided by a facilitator. We have a lot of really good facilitators in the parish that can kind of guide the conversation. Then after that, we'll come into the old church, and all this will take place in St. Peter Chanel in the old church building. Then after that, I will expose the Blessed Sacrament. And we'll pray, especially we'll pray the rosary in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And the rosary, of course, will be praying for your marriage and your family. Calling to mind the words of Father Patrick Peyton, who said the family that prays together stays together. Family that prays together stays together. Family that prays together stays together. Then, after that, I will give you the solemn blessing, because we'll have the Blessed Sacrament exposed. I'll give you the solemn blessing with the Eucharist. What a blessing. And then at about 2 o'clock, maybe about 2:10, about 2 o'clock, we'll celebrate the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. But it's not finished. We will be giving you a binder with an article or two for every week. Then I'll be giving you biblical passages and as well as short commentary on the biblical passages that refer to marriage and the family, so that you, husband and wife, after the Sunday mini retreat, you're going to have a daily meditation for that whole week and then the second week. So you're basically going to be on retreat. You're basically going to be on retreat for 2 weeks. My friends, I really believe that this can help out your marriage. Your marriage is in crisis. This can maybe help you to resolve what is causing you problems. If your marriage has grown kind of dull, mediocre, this can give it renewed energy. If your marriage is going well, this can help you to really improve all the more. And your marriage is going really well, it can help you and your spouse to really strive to become saints, in imitation of the parents of Saint Therese, who are canonized saints, Luis and Zélie Martin. So I thought I'd make that invitation in our conversation today, and you can invite others to come to our mini retreat. You can invite others to come to our mini retreat. To come to our mini retreat. So my friends, let's work on building good marriages. So that leads us to a sequel of the gospel for today. So the gospel for today, you get the Pharisees that come, they approach Jesus to test him, put him to the test. They ask him this question with bad will. Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any cause whatever? And Jesus quotes, Jesus is going to quote the Old Testament, the book of Genesis. And he asked them a question, have you not read what was from the beginning? That the Creator, God Himself, made them male and female, man and woman. And then Jesus says, for this reason, a man, he will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, or cling to his wife. And the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer one flesh. And then Jesus says, therefore what God has joined, let no man separate. Those are the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I'd like to do today, and I'll be following up on this whole topic, will be, there's so many different dimensions or ideas that we can express on this biblical passage, which is related to matrimony, marriage between man and woman. But what I'd like to do today is, this will be very helpful for you parents, because we can be speaking about how to prepare for marriage, how to get married, how to improve your marriage, what are the major obstacles of marriage. There are so many different facets of this very important topic. Just being aware, my friends, that marriage and family is so very important. It's the first institution that God actually created, and you heard it today. The family is the domestic church. John Paul II goes on to say that the family is the basic building block of society. John Paul II also says, the way the family goes is the way the world goes. And history has proven this sad truth, that when the family, becomes unraveled, when the family falls apart, you're going to notice that the whole civilization crumbles. Look at the Roman civilization, the Roman Empire. Look at the Greek civilization. All of them fell apart, usually because of sexual immorality and the demise or the debacle of the family. So what I'm always trying to do in my talks and conversations and retreats and lectures, one of my primary thrusts is to help families to live out their vocation, you who are married, that you'll live out your vocation to the fullest extent possible. That's one of my primary teachings as I'm trying to impart today to you good people. So what we'll do today, and this lecture would demand more than one, is I'd like to talk about how can your son or daughter, who are probably called to the marriage vocation, how can your son and daughter live out this marriage commitment to the fullest extent possible? So I'm going to give you some guidelines. You might even take some notes. So you can help your children, some of your grandparents too, you can use these ideas. First of all, you as parents pray. Pray that your children who are called to the married life, that they would choose, guided by the Holy Spirit, the right person. That they would choose the right spouse. Not to be cynical or negative, but rather to be realistic. Unfortunately, most marriages end up in separation, divorce. That's Catholic as well as non-Catholic. I think it's something like 65%. And I'm not being cynical, I'm just being realistic. That the world is militating against marital stability and indissolubility. Now, I'll tell you an interesting anecdote. In the year 1979, before entering to study to be a priest in Rome, I was a professional teacher for 1 year in the church, in the parish Mother Divine Providence in King of Prussia, Pennsylvania, near Philadelphia. And I taught second grade. It was a great year preparing these children for their first communion. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Teaching, this is when we had to teach the basics and teach reading and writing and arithmetic and social studies. I didn't teach art because I was not good at that, but rather I gave that to a woman teacher, but I taught PE 2 times. So it was a good year. And I remember all these children, they were Catholic families. I had 23 children. One of them, his name was Sean, and I noticed that he was distracted, seemed like he couldn't pay attention that well. He was a little bit behind the others. And Sean was, his parents were separated. Now, of 23 children, he was the only child that was a product of separation and divorce. The only one of 23. Okay, let's jump from 1979 to 2022. If you were to enter into a classroom of 25, undoubtedly you'd have 15 of those children that are products of divorce. And sad to say, what's happening now, some of these children have two women or two men that are watching over them. I'm not scandalizing any of you because you know that. So the world has really gone through a radical revolution in these two generations. If a generation will be 20 years. So, for that reason, I think we have to talk more and more about the importance of marriage and family. More and more important. What's more important than that? As in large part, we are as a result of our family upbringing. Tell me with whom you go, and I'll tell you who you are. The saints pandemi con quien anda te digo quien eres. Or the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree. A good tree produces good fruit. A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. We all know that. That's common sense. So let's go back to how can you as parents prepare your children to make the right choice? With respect to their vocation. First thing I'd like to say is this. My friends, the importance of prayer. How important it is for all of us to pray and pray and pray and pray. How important it is to pray and pray and pray and pray. Pray that your son or daughter will make the right choice in his future spouse. I'm saying this, and probably as I say this, most of you are thinking, wow, Father Padre Escobita, wow. What you're saying right now seems to be something so obvious. Seems to be something nonsensical. Seems to be common sense. But it could be that maybe it seems to be such common sense that it actually skips our mind and we don't do it. If your son John is called to marry this woman whose name is Guadalupe, pray that John will meet Guadalupe and that will be his spouse until death do part. She will be the wife that will give him children. And if you like, here's a biblical passage taken from Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask, and you'll receive. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Whoever asks, receives. Whoever seeks, finds. Whoever knocks, the door will be open to you. Remember, Matthew chapter 7. Ask and you receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open to you. Many times we don't receive from our Heavenly Father because we simply fail to ask. Now, what I'm going to say now, I think you're really going to like. Thanks be to God that we have saints and angels. And saints, the church has chosen saints to carry out certain missions. For example, St. Anthony, we lose something, we pray to St. Anthony. But there is, we have problems with our eyes. St. Lucy is the patron of eyesight. St. Michael the Archangel is the patron of soldiers and policemen and firemen. Well, what about, who should we pray to find a future spouse? I mentioned two saints. There are others, but I mentioned two prominent saints that can help you and your children to find the right spouse. Now, this may surprise you, but there's a book in the Bible that highlights the importance of proper finding and choosing one's future spouse. And this is taken from the book of Tobit in the Old Testament. That's right. You might even read the book of Tobit in the Old Testament. It's a fabulous book, the book of Tobit. The book of Tobit. The book of Tobit. Now you might say, well, why is the book of Tobit a book that can help my son to find his future spouse? For this reason. The book of Tobit, who's got his son who has the same name, he goes on a journey to run an errand, a financial errand, but also to visit his future spouse, whose name is Sarah. And who accompanies Tobit to meet his future spouse is the Archangel Raphael. That's right. The Archangel Raphael accompanies. The Archangel Raphael accompanies Tobit Jr. to the house of his father-in-law, mother-in-law, and to his future wife, Sarah. Now, if you've read the story, you might think with Tobit that maybe he wouldn't want to marry that woman, Sarah, because she's already had six prospect husbands, but the wedding night, the devil Asmodeus actually enters into the wedding chamber and kills the prospect spouse. So you would think that Tobit would not want to marry a woman who's lost six of her prospect husbands. You would think. But the reason behind that, those tragedies would be that these men were not pursuing Sarah for the right purpose. Their intention was not to marry and raise a family according to the laws of God and his intentions, but rather they're pursuing Sarah simply because of lustful desires. And God was displeased with that, and God allowed this devil Asmodeus to smite and to kill these prospect husbands. So there we have the connection between Tobit and Sarah and Raphael connecting them. May Saint Raphael help your sons and daughters to have a good marital connection based on the love of God. And that takes us to a follow-up on this, is that your son and daughter would not marry someone simply for lustful purposes. That's one of the key ideas in that connection between Sarah and Tobit. And even they burn the gall of fish, and they actually say a prayer before their wedding night. So before consummating their wedding, both of them kneel down and they open up their hearts and they pray to God that God would bless their marriage, that they're not marrying for lustful purpose, so that they will be able to raise a family pleasing to God. So Tobit that night, he prays, the bad spirit is expelled, and he marries Sarah, and they have a happy wedding together. Because it was not based on lust, but rather based on true and authentic love. True and authentic love. So my first point that I'm highlighting, I'm trying to point out, commenting on the gospel today, how your children can discover the love of their life. You may say the love of their life, because once you get married, and some of you work with me in preparing couples to get married. Many of you have been with me in marriage that I celebrate. The couples say one to the other, I promise to be faithful to you in good times as well as bad, in health as well as sickness, in riches as well as poverty, until death do we part. Second thing I'd like to say is this. We're talking now, my friends, we're talking about remote preparation of your son and daughter to live out their marriage vocation, as many of you are doing. Many of you are doing. And many of you are doing it pretty well, thanks be to God. But we can always improve. Is this, I'm going to tell you something that you may feel somewhat remote, but I think it's important. Is the importance of trying to live out chastity in our lives in a global sense. Before marriage, during marriage, and after marriage. And in a certain sense, living out that beatitude, Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see God. And it's this. Try to form your children in virtue, especially that of faith, hope, and love, but also chastity. What we've done in the parish of St. Peter Chanel over the past 20 years or more is among our confirmation students, and we have many, thanks be to God, our confirmation students, we have many, thanks be to God, But usually on the feast day of the Immaculate Conception or the feast day of Our Lady Guadalupe, we have a mini retreat and our young people are given a chastity ring or a chastity cross, either one or the other, in honor of the Blessed Virgin Mary. That's right. In other words, in the context of the Mass, we give them a beautiful ring. Sometimes it's a miraculous metal ring, or the boys will give them the Medal of Saint Benedict. They wear that as a reminder. They wear that as a reminder to live out more and more fully this virtue of chastity. Tell you a story from the Diary of St. Faustine, and all of this is related to you as parents, a remote preparation for the sacrament of holy matrimony that most of you have, but your children, many of your children, some of your grandchildren, are not. Hopefully some of them might become priests. We should try to promote priestly vocations too. However, in the Diary of St. Faustina, Jesus appears to Faustina dressed in a white tunic. And he takes his golden sash and he wraps that around her waist. From that moment on, St. Faustina was given what's called the gift of perfect chastity. The gift of perfect chastity, where she no longer had movements of the flesh or bad thoughts that would assault her. Then Faustina said this. She had been begging the Blessed Virgin Mary for a long time. Begging the Blessed Virgin Mary for a long time. For a long time for this virtue. Finally, it was given to her through Jesus, by Jesus, but rather it was also given to her through the powerful intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So I thought I would tell you that story, that our young people would be living out this virtue of chastity through the intercession of Mary. Now, another patron saint of choosing one's future husband or wife. We mentioned St. Raphael. Invite you to read the book of Tobit in the Old Testament. Would be the following. St. Joseph. St. Teresa of Avila goes on to point out that St. Joseph is the universal patron saint. That's right. St. Joseph is the universal patron saint. We can invoke St. Joseph for everything. And St. Teresa of Avila also points out that other saints, well, they help, but it takes a while. But St. Joseph is very quick. St. Joseph is very quick in this respect. Very quick in this respect. You might say, why St. Joseph? Well, St. Joseph he was called to the married life. Who was the spouse of Saint Joseph? Obviously, Saint Joseph was married to Mary Most Holy, to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Married to Mary. And he lived his married life to the fullest extent possible. So pray to Saint Raphael, but also pray to Saint Joseph, that your son or daughter will make the right choice. That's right, to make the right choice. Because by far, my friends, of all the decisions in our lives, our vocational choice, the person that we choose to marry, or myself to become a priest and religious, to marry until death do you part, is by far the most important, is by far the most important decision in our lives. And once again, I'm not being cynical. Most people look at its divorce is going beyond 60%. Most people marry the wrong person at the wrong time in the wrong place with the wrong intention, and that is tantamount to disaster. But those who marry the right person in the right place in the right time in the right intention, that will be tantamount to a holy, happy, faithful marriage. And of course, that will descend upon the children. If God decides to give them children, that will descend upon their children and the family, as well as the society as a whole. Now, given you have children, many have children, some have teenagers, you should highlight this point also. This is becoming a more and more common phenomenon in the modern world. It's called the concept of trial marriage, or marriage of convenience, or cohabitation. This is becoming more and more not only the exception to the rule, it's becoming the norm today among many young adults. You should already tell your children, even when they're 9, 10, or 11, that marriage, as Jesus says in the Gospel today in Matthew chapter 19, is that marriage is between a man and woman, but also that marriage between man and woman has to be sanctified. It has to be blessed in the context of the church by means of the sacrament of holy matrimony. That's right, the sacrament of holy matrimony. It's a sacrament instituted by Jesus Christ. The sacrament is an external sign instituted by Jesus Christ to confer grace. That's the classical definition from the Baltimore Catechism. Sacrament is an external sign instituted by Christ to confer grace. Try to memorize that definition of a sacrament. So, with the sacrament of matrimony, and tell your children, don't think about free union or cohabitation or trial marriage. That's displeasing to God, and they're going to be starting off on the wrong foot. And they're going to be starting off by living together without God. Without God. For that reason, I never get tired of quoting Venerable Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen. Venerable Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen has written a book on marriage, and the title of that is It Takes Three to Get Married. Who are those three? It takes three to get married. The husband, the wife, and Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is a hidden partner in the sacrament of holy matrimony. When Jesus Christ is present with the husband and wife, in the midst of problems, Jesus Christ can help married couples overcome all obstacles and to live holy, happy marriages until death do they part. So my friends, I hope that this conversation has been good. There's so much more to be said. We're talking about the importance of forming holy marriages, and I basically focus a lot upon you praying to God, to St. Raphael, to St. Joseph, praying to God, praying to the Lord, that your son and daughter, who are called to the married life, will choose the right person. That they will be married until death do they part. So great to be with you, and I'd like to end by giving you my priestly blessing. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you. Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.